rejoice.
Well, let's pray. You guys have any prayer requests?
Spencer.
Yeah. Let's pray for Spencer. Father in heaven, we come before you now. Praise your holy name, Lord. Lord, we ask that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done here on earth as it would be done in heaven. Thank you for the food that you gave us this morning, Lord. We ask that you would continue to meet our needs, the needs of the brothers all over the world. You know, those weak and orphans and widows who are seeking you, Lord, that you would provide them for you. We also pray, Lord, that you would forgive us our deeds as we forgive those who have sinned against us. You would lead us out of temptation, protect us from the evil one. Lord, we think of these different people. Pray for Raja as he's there in India, translating and reaching out to a culture that's blind, deceived by Western Gnostic Christianity. We pray also that you would not stop calling for us. To call Spencer back, Lord. John the Prophet. Praise you for your continued conviction on Prosperity. Praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for helping him along the way back. I pray that you would just continue to strengthen him. Help him to have wisdom and strength to know how to walk your way and deal with him over this break as his father is going to come and press him. Lord, we also lift up to you all those parents and families in Connecticut. We just pray that you would comfort them. God, through this time, Satan's kingdom is really showing its real face. We just pray that some would turn to you. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord, be with these boys now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, guys.
We are now in what book? Book. Ezra. And what happened last week? If you can remember. What happened last week, for some of you who spoke, you don't remember because you weren't here, but you might have an idea. What do you think? Okay, who burned down the house of God? Wrong. But if you go further east, you might get the right key. Anybody else? King of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, specifically. Brother David saying, speak up clearly. I was a bad example just a second ago. So when I ask you a question, you answer. Speak loud so everyone can hear. So remember, Nebuchadnezzar's daddy came. And Hezekiah, a good king, got real sick. Remember, he almost died. He went before the Lord, prayed. God said, I'll give you 15 more years. And then in the meanwhile, Nebuchadnezzar's dad came, Nebuchadnezzar, I think is his name, he came, and Nebuchadnezzar and Hezekiah were so pleased that this foreign king came to see him that he got better. He showed him all over, showed him his storehouses. And Isaiah, was it Isaiah who went to him? He said, "What are you doing? You're showing him all the treasures of Israel, the house of God and the armory." And then God came and said, "This nation is going to be punished." And Hezekiah was like, "Well, not my problem." Well, now that king's son, Nebuchadnezzar, came and he laid siege to Jerusalem. It took several years and a couple of different deportations, but finally he took all the wealthiest and the smartest and the most educated people out of Israel and left the poorest, even the thieves and stuff, they left there. But they took everybody else to Babylon as slaves. And they were there for 70 years. Okay? So now the book of Ezra starts. And that 70 years has passed. Okay? So if you want to get a little insight of what happened while they were in Babylon, you can read the book of Daniel, because that kind of chronicles, at least from Daniel's perspective while he was there, from the time he was a very young man to the time he was an old man, over the course of maybe 70 years about. But anyway, we're going to read this for chapter 1 of Ezra, and we're going to see how they got back into the land. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Well, let's see what Jeremiah prophesied." Does anybody know what Jeremiah prophesied? Anybody else? Adam.
That they would be taken to Babylon for 70 years, and after that they would come back to Israel.
Right. Jeremiah 29:10, we see this. In the midst of this prophecy, Jeremiah goes on and he says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place," which was Israel, Jerusalem specifically. And there's a couple other prophecies that the prophet Jeremiah spoke about in regards to their returning. And this is God's fulfilling that. And this is what Cyrus, who was responding to God moving in his heart. Now, Cyrus was just a pagan. I mean, he was not a follower necessarily of the law of Moses. But he was moved by God, and he was moved to send the people back. So this is the way he wrote, verse 2. "Thus says Cyrus," and this is in the New King James, "King of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given to me. And he has commanded me to build a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place, wherever he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the free will offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." Now this is an amazing situation. This man who lives, if you were going to look at a map, Babylon is over here. Does anybody know where Iran is on our modern map today? Anybody look at maps? Okay. Well, let's just pretend that this is a map right here.
There's an ocean over here, Mediterranean Sea, where my head is. And there is Iran right here, which was what Babylon was. Iran, Iraq, a big desert here, then Israel, then the Mediterranean Sea. Blue Sea, okay? And Babylon was here. They had what? And back then, no one would travel through the desert because you would just die. But they had this area of land above it that was called the Fertile Crescent. And it was called a crescent because it was like a crescent moon, you know, like the moon was a couple nights ago, a little sliver. Well, up here, you could go down. And this is how Abraham came from Babylon up across the Crescent Valley to Haran, where Terah, his father, died, and then down into Israel, and ultimately down even further. But up here is where Syria was, Assyria, where the 10 tribes were taken. Well, Nebuchadnezzar came all the way over here, and he conquered Israel, all the way down. Okay? All the way down here, and then Africa starts down here. Are you following me? Okay. You're doing good. Why this is so amazing. So now, 70 years have passed since Nebuchadnezzar took all those people from Israel up and around down to Babylon. And just to give you an idea, Babylon or Iraq is here, Iran. If you go up and this way, just right here, that's India. Just to give you an idea on the world where it is, it's a long ways away. So this king over here, who presumably probably never was over in Israel, God lets him know that Jerusalem is where God set up his temple. And that the God who promised Abraham that he was going to bless the whole world through him was from Israel, from Jerusalem. And he said, this man who lived all the way over here said that that is where the center of God's people need to be. And so he said, all of you people who worship him, you can just go back. You just go back. So let's pretend you're a slave. And when you went into captivity, you may have been boys like this. 11, 12, 6, 7, 8. Now you're 80, 85, 86, 81. And all of a sudden, your king, who you're a slave to, says, all of you who worship the God of Israel can go home and build. And in fact, I'm not just going to let you go back. I command everybody around you to give you gold and silver and cows and anything you need. And so the king's command was that everybody was supposed to give you a whole bunch of stuff so you can get that job done. It just is a big miracle. I just want you to see that. And what you need to see is that God, number one, He keeps His promise. Keeps His promises. Okay? And He gives us promises in the New Testament, like, if you keep His commandments, He will send His Holy Spirit to fill us. If you don't keep His commandments, you will not have life eternal. Okay? Don't forget that. He keeps these kind of promises, but He for sure is going to keep those promises. Do you hear me? Okay. Number two, he's so good that He would come to this pagan king. So right now, we see that this guy, who was a pagan, now is worshiping the God of creation. So we see Cyrus in eternity? I don't know. But he at least acknowledged that God was God. The God of Israel was the real and only God. You know. So anyways, that's pretty neat. So, back to this chapter 1, verse 5. It goes on to say, then the heads of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirit God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Okay. Number 2. Not all of the Israels went. Okay? He wasn't forcing everybody to go. He just said, if you want to go home, you can. But you see, when they came over, Nebuchadnezzar didn't put them in chains. He said, you can have your own houses, you can have your own jobs, you just have to live here. And so he gave him a lot of freedom. And what happened was a lot of people, they got blinded by Babylon. They got blinded by the freedom that they had. They could work. And it was the capital of the world. It wasn't like the nation of the world. It was the in the nation that ruled the whole world, but it was the actual city. So all these Jews got to work and be wealthy, and they got to have their vineyards, and they got to have their fruit and everything that they wanted. And now, this king says, oh, you can have freedom. Well, a lot of them were saying, I don't want to go back. I've got this nice house. I've got this nice garden. It's going to be hard. You want me to go back and serve God? You know, what's God done for me, they say. And a lot of them stayed. As Esther, remember the story of Esther. She stayed. It was after this time. Cyrus, and then later was King Ahasuerus. Was that his name? Anyway, I forgot the guy's name. But anyway, so that was later. There was a bunch of people who stayed over there because it was comfortable. And that's what happens today. That's what happened in the time of Jesus. When he came and he preached God's way, he called people to leave the place that they were born at. This dark kingdom, Satan's kingdom. And Jesus said, the good news is you can go to your real home, the kingdom of God, where God intends you to be. But most people don't go. And in this case, a lot of people stay back. And you see that in Esther. That's why there was such a hysteria when they were going to wipe out all the Jews. Because there were so many Jews over there in Persia. So anyways, another thing I want you to know, or let me ask you this. Who were the Jews? When you hear the word Jews, what do you think? You think who? Just a people group. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. When the Bible talks about Israel, the people of Israel, he's talking about everybody that was from the 12 tribes of Israel, all of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, when they rebelled, you remember that 10 of the tribes went north, right? And they were the northern tribes. They were called Israel. The southern tribes were called Judea. Okay? When Assyria came in, they took all those tribes and they killed many people. But then the Assyrians intermarried with all of them. And they stopped being, you know, presumably, they couldn't tell if they were from the tribe of Dan or Naphtali or whatever anymore. So their goal was done. Israel was done. But the southern tribes were Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So Jews are those tribes, Benjamin, Judah, and Levi. That's who the Jews were that came back, the three southern tribes. And they're called Jews because they took the name of Judah, you know, the major tribe. Anyway, so that's these three tribes that head back there, Benjamin, Levi, and Judah. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver, gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put them in the temple of his God. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Mithridatal, the treasurer, and counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold plates, 1,000 silver platters, 29 golden basins, 410 silver basins of a similar kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Shash-Bazar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem.
Okay. That's pretty neat too. God gave back all those things that Nebuchadnezzar stole from the temple when he destroyed it. It shows the goodness of God. Any questions about all that happened? This is what you just need to remember. God said in 70 years he would bring them back. And in 70 years, God did bring them back. And God moved in the heart of a man, and that man was Cyrus, and he responded. And the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, and Benjamin and Levi had a choice. Were they going to go and serve God, or were they going to stay where it was comfortable? And some went and served God. And they got back to Israel. So now, there's people back in Israel, and whoever teaches next week is going to pick up there. Okay, let's talk about prayer. All right. We got some eager men here. Let me look to the youngest among you. Sylvester, do you have a verse? Not this week. Yeah. Okay. Not that God hurt, but to pray that they would turn to the Lord. And that you, what you would, how you act with them would help that. Remember to speak up like man.
James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed.
That's good. Praise the Lord. What's that?
Finish it.
Finish it all.
The petition for the prayer of a righteous man avails
not. I'm pretty sure we're going to get some more of that. That's right. Come together, brothers, pray, confess. Prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
1 Peter 4:10. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch.
Be sober and watch and pray. You.
Six.
Okay. What do you think that means? You bigger boys, what do you think that means? Don't go.
Don't pray where
others can see you. Well, that's literally what he was saying, but what was Jesus trying to get across? Right. Don't show off that you're praying. What they were doing, the Pharisees were trying to present to all the people that they were these great, righteous people. And so in order to show them how good they were, they would go up and pray, and all these people would just say, "Oh, they're so righteous," when they were not. They were righteous on man's standards, but they were rejecting what Jesus said, and they were just trying to win the praise of men. So, okay, go ahead. That is good. Yes.
Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father will see.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Take. Can you remember it? Caleb? Stand up.
Pray without ceasing.
What's the passage? Can't remember? Okay. Pray without ceasing. Any of you big boys know where that passage is at?
Thessalonians 5:17.
Is that yours? Was there anything else with it? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Judah?
That they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, pray for the wrath of the King and of his Son.
Pray for the King and his Son. Philip.
Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you're
so close. Watch and pray so that you do not fall, not fall into temptation. Matthew what?
26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Okay. Who's next? More?
James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any married, let him sit down.
Okay, Adam.
James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Okay. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who doesn't upbraid men, but gives to men liberally. God wants to give you wisdom. Hans?
Matthew 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and shall pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation.
Okay. Don't show off in your praying. Here's one that I especially want you to remember. Matthew 6. I'm surprised everybody probably skipped this one because you probably thought everybody else was going to pick it. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus commanded us to pray this. Okay. So, if you ever think, oh, I'd like to learn how to pray, sit up right now, Boaz. Hold your hand. Thank you. This is what Jesus commanded his followers to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's hallowed. It's like holy or great or you are amazing. It's praising him. Your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it was in heaven. We want the will of God to be done here just like it's done in heaven. Do you think that the will of God is ever not done in heaven? It's always done, right? You see what Jesus is saying? God help your will be done here on earth just like it is up there. It would be perfect if it was. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. So when you pray that part, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, you're saying, God, forgive me in the same exact way that I forgive everybody else. If you don't forgive your brother, and you pray this, you're saying to God, God, just go ahead and don't forgive me because I haven't forgiven my brother. Or, God, just go ahead and think of me in a bitter way because I think of so-and-so or I'm rebellious against my mom. So, you understand what you're saying? I mean, this is a serious prayer. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God can deliver you from evil. In fact, it says later in the scriptures that when you're following Him, He won't put you in a situation that you don't have the power in yourself to get out of. Don't blame God for your sins. Okay? It's not Him who's doing it. So, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the honor. I would really encourage you guys to really don't worry about long, elaborate prayers. If you can just pray this and really, when you're praying, really pray it. Don't just recite it, but think about it. Think about God. Praise His holy name. And ask Him to help His will to be done, and that you would do His will. And all these things. And if you pray this and you really seek the Lord, you'll be a really pleasing servant to God. Okay. You guys can go back.